has joined.
Good morning.
Since I missed last night the questions, I thought we would do that today. So let's wait to see if Malka comes.
Okay. I'm going to mute.
Okay. But we will begin with the L'shem Yichud and then follow with the fifth Aliyah. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Dei Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhei Bavalpe V'yichud Ashelim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunai Lohino Alena Maseya Dana Kurane Alena Maseya Dana Kuraneho. There are 34 verses in the fifth Aliyah, which runs from chapter 26 of Genesis, verse 30, to chapter 27, verse 27. 34 is the number Lamed Daled. It's a doorway to teaching. And in the reverse order, Daled Lamed, it has the meaning of being poor, of having lack. Verse 30. Vayas lachem mishpe vayochlu vayichu
has joined.
Baboker vayishavu ish la'achiv v'shalchem. Yitzhak vayelku meito v'shalom. Vayhi bayom hahu vayavo avde yitzak vayagidu lo alodot habe'er asher hafaru vayomru lo matzanu mayim vayikra ota Shiva alkein shem ha'ir be'er sheva ad hayom hazeh. Vayehi Esav ben arvayim
has joined.
Vayikach isha et yehudit bat be'eri hachiti ve'et basmat bat elon. Achiti Vatecheyehna Vati heyena morat ruach leitzak urivka. Vayhi ki zaken yitzak vayiti chenna. Enav merot vayikra et Esav bno hagadol. Vayomer elav, bni vayomer elav, hineni. Vayomer hinena zakanti lo yadati yomotai. Viata sana kelecha tel yecha. Vekashtecha v'tze hasade v'tzu dali tzaid. It's written with a hey at the end of that word, which can have the meaning of going in the direction of what is ever the meaning of the word tzaid. Va'aseh li matamim ka'asher achabti v'havi'ali v'ikela da'avur tevarechecha nafshi v'terem amut v'rivka shema'at v'daber yita elecha b'no v'yelech. Esav hasade latsud hasayid lechaviyo. V'rivka amra el Yaakov v'na lemor hine shamati et avicha medaber el Esav achicha lemor. Avia li tzayid, va'aseh li matamim, va'okela v'yavarecha lifnei Adonai yoheiwahe, adanu yoyoahe dawanu heyo, lifnei moti. V'yata b'ni shema v'koli la'asher ani mitzava ota lechna el hatzon b'kach li misham shene k'dayei azim tovim v'yese otam matamim le'avicha Ka'asherahev Veheveta le'avicha V'yakal ba'avur V'asher yivarechecha Lifnei moto V'yomer Yaakov el Rivka Imo chen esav Achi ish Sa'ir v'yanoki ishalak Ulay yemusheni avi v'hayiti V'enav kim chatat heya V'heveti alay yelala v'lo v'raka V'tomer lo imo alay Kilatcha b'niach shema b'koli v'lechach li v'yelech v'yikach v'yaveh le'imo v'ta'asimo matamim k'asher ahev aviv v'tikach rivka et bigdei esav b'nach Hagadol hachamot mudot asherita babayit v'atalbesh et Yaakov b'na hakatan. Vatiten et hamat amim bet halechetchem. Asher asata biad Yaakov b'na vayavo el havivayomer. Havivayomer hineni miata b'ni. Vayomer Yaakov el aviv anochi esav b'korecha. Asiti kasher dibarta elai kumna shevavi achla meitzedi ba'avur hatevarachani nafshecha. Vayomer Yitzhak el beno maze micharta. Lim so beni vayomer ki hikra Adonayo hewahe adanu yo yoahe dawanu heyo Elohecha lefanai vayomer Yitzhak el Yaakov Yishana v'amushcha b'ni ha'ata ze b'ni Esav im lo. V'yigash Yaakov el Yitzhak aviv. V'amushehu v'yomer hakol kol Yaakov. V'hayadayim yedei Esav. Velo hikiro, ki hayu yadav ki deesav, lachiv seirot, vavarakehu, vayomer ata zebeni esav, vayomer ani. Vayomer hagishali, V'ochlai mitzed, v'ni leman tevarechecha, nafshi v'yagesh lo, v'yokal v'yave lo yagin, v'yesht, v'yomer aylav Yitzhak aviv g'shagna, v'shakali b'ni. Vayigash vayishak lo vayarach et reyach v'gadav v'avarakehu vayomer reyach b'ni k'reyach sadeh asher bayrako adonayo hewahe adanu yo Yo ahe da wanu heyo. That is the end of the Hebrew reading. We'll now connect to the English. So he made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. And they arose early in the morning, and they swore one to the other, and Isaac escorted them, and they went away from him in peace. And it came to pass on that day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug. And they said to him, "We have found water." And he named it Sheba. Therefore the city is named Beersheba until this very day. And Esau was 40 years old and married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemat, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a vexation of the spirit to Isaac and to Rebekah. Chapter 27. This last, or the early part of the chapter we just read, which is 26, the early part of chapter 26, is discussing the agreement between Abimelech and Isaac and with the witness of his general Phicol. Now we're going into the deception of, on its surface, the deception of Rivka to her husband Isaac about her sons. Chapter 27, verse 1. It came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called Esau his elder son. And he said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Hineni, here I am." And he said, "Behold, now I have grown old. I do not know the day of my death. So now sharpen your implements, your sword, and take your bow, and go forth to the field and hunt game for me. And make for me a tasty foods as I like, and bring them to me, and I will eat, in order that my soul will bless you before I die." So an interesting question is, why did he have to have food to eat for his soul to bless Esau? The connection between eating and blessing is somewhat significant, because we bless before we eat and we bless after we eat. But the blessing of the father to their children, does it really need eating as part of the process? Verse 5. But Rebekah overheard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game, to bring it. Was Rebekah a gossip? Did she like to listen to Isaac's conversations with his children? What does this imply? And Rebekah said to Jacob, her son, saying, "Behold, I have heard your father speaking to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make me tasty foods, and I will eat, and I will bless you before the Lord, before my death.' And now, my son, hearken to my voice, to what I am commanding you. Go now to the flock and take for me from there two choice kids, and I will make them tasty foods for your father as he likes. And you shall bring them to your father that he may eat, in order that he bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, whereas I am a smooth man." Jacob is not questioning the instruction. He's saying, how do I get away with it? That's not necessarily a common response. Verse 12, "Perhaps my father will touch me, and I will appear to him as a deceiver, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "On me is your curse, my son. Only hearken to my voice and go, take them for me." So he went and he took and he brought them to his mother, and his mother made tasty foods as his father liked. And Rebekah took the costly garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and she dressed Jacob, her younger son. The costly garments is according to the Midrash, was the clothing that Hashem had made for Adam that allowed him to be a successful hunter. And that had gone to Nimrod through treachery, and then to Esav. And Esav went to his mother and asked her to guard them for her and to keep these for him. But if he had been instructed to go to the field, he would have gone to his mother and asked her for them. So part of this does not make sense. And he hides of the kids she put in on his hands and on the smoothness of his neck. And she gave the tasty foods and the bread that she had made into the hand of Jacob, her son. And he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Hineni, here I am." "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have spoken to me. Please rise, sit down, and eat of my game so that your soul will bless me." Now, it appears from this verse that Jacob lied to his father. But in the Hebrew, there's a trope on the word Esav, indicating a pause. So the sentence that Jacob said to Isaac is, I am Jacob, because he did not say that, but he whispered it. Esav is your firstborn, which indicates that he did not lie. This is a teaching from the Talmud and also from the Zohar. Verse 20. And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God prepared it before me." You'll notice that it says the Lord your God, Isaac's God, not Esau's God. And Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come closer so that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob drew near to Isaac his father, and he felt him. And he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like the hands of his brother Esau. And he blessed him. And he said, "Are you indeed my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Now here we have a potential deception. And he said, "Serve it to me that I may eat of the game of my son so that my soul will bless you." And he served him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, "Please come closer and kiss me, my son." And he came closer, and he kissed him, and he smelled the fragrance of his garments. And he blessed him, and he said, "Behold, the fragrance of my son is like the fragrance of a field which the Lord has blessed." And the teachings on this verse has to do with the idea of the fragrance is the smell of the Garden of Eden associated with the Shekhinah. Does anyone have any questions? If Malka's on the line, I apologize for not answering your question from yesterday's morning during the evening, because obviously I missed that class. But I thought I would start the conversation now and take enough 5-10 minutes for it.
Okay.
So the question you were asking yesterday morning was relative to the idea of the Armageddon war that will be coming from the north. And there are various prophecies that relate to this teaching. And that there will be 10 nations that will come from the north to attack Israel. And I had mentioned that there are different ways of understanding the word north, because the direction of north is connected to judgment. And the 10 nations, there are many different approaches as to who those nations will be. But Rabbi Anava, in one of his video recordings over about 6-8 weeks ago, he mentioned that in his opinion that the Armageddon War had already started in Syria, because there are 10 different nations represented in that war in Syria. And that he went on further to explain that Israel, and especially Jerusalem, will be not involved with the War of Armageddon. And I went on to explain and just that we could consider, rather than it being a direction on the physical level, it could be represented by what does the north represent being connected to judgment. And that therefore there would be a period of judgment, and that's what would be the cause of the war. Not that it would be coming from the northern direction physically. And that's when Malka asked me to explain a little more about that. And really, the more to explain about that is really to understand that we have a lot of different correspondences that are taught in the Sefer Yetzirah. Some of those correspondences are the directions being connected to the Sefirot, which are connected to months that are being connected to planets, astrological planets, as well as astrological signs. And we have all of these different correspondences, as well as parts of the body. And so when we talk about north, we have to be willing to assess, is it talking about a physical direction? And that's the meaning of the simple story. Or is it talking on another level or another frame of reference? Another way of understanding the direction north is it relates also to colors. It relates also to the different continents and different seas in the physical world. So all of these correspondences for the Kabbalist are intuitive to them. So when they're reading a verse, or they're studying, or they're thinking about these things, they will address these different correspondences as to maybe, you know, and it's not a speculation, because for them it's knowledge. But for me it's speculation. That, yes, I know these correspondences. I've read them in the Sefer Yetzirah. I've meditated upon them. I understand some aspects of them. And therefore, the thought occurred to me that when it speaks that the Armageddon War will come from the north, that it could very well just be talking about a period of time that would be involved with judgment. I'm sure you have some additional questions, so please go ahead and ask.
Well, I was I was trying to find some connections. I know, I think in the temple was built, the showbread is on the north side of the temple.
Right.
And also, I read that Tohu Bohu with the Mem, with the broken vessel Mem, that released the judgment or the broken vessels, vessels with the sparks falling out, is also connected to Bohu and Tohu and Bohu, right?
The world of Tohu. The world of Bohu is after that, but it's not the same. But according to the Ari, the world of Bohu is connected to the north as well. I don't mean Bohu, I mean Tohu.
Okay, so that's kind of what I'm trying to align my thoughts to, those spiritual aspects that occurred. And of course the 10 tribes went to the north when they separated from Judah, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm trying to make a connection from a spiritual side. Although sometimes my mind will go to the literal meaning of the north. Now, what's in the north? What's north of Jerusalem? What you said Syria is. So, and I'm trying to balance the two, you know, in the verses that you present to us, as to determine what are we talking about here? Are we talking about, usually it's all spiritual, correct? But, you know, my mind goes, okay, north, okay, what's going on in the north? Jerusalem. And then also the table that Sula was in also referenced north, right? The entrance to
the idea of north and the idea of south is relative.
Mm-hmm.
So something can be in the south but yet be north of another location. But if you think about the world, the northern hemisphere tends to be more aggressive. It tends to be wealthier than the southern hemisphere. Why is it wealthier? Because there's a greater drive, a greater desire associated with the north. The southern hemisphere tends to have people that seem to be more open, more generous, more loving, more connected to chesed, which is what the southern direction connects to. Every word in the Torah is connected to a sephirah. When we read the Torah, we do not make those connections generally. Once in a while, you might understand that that's relating to a particular sephirah, but for the most part, we never make those connections unless it's saying a name of a sephirah. But the Torah is all spiritual. It's all describing the sephirot and their relationships to each other. And so when we're told these correspondences, that's really what it's talking about. If it describes the table in the inner court of the temple, and it says the showbread is on the northern part of the table, what is it really saying to us? That the showbread represents the left column, and that's why it's placed in the north. Well, bread is the great highest desire to receive in the frame of plants. It takes 10 steps to make bread. What would happen if we put the bread, the showbread, on the south of the table? Are we mixing energies? The answer is yes, because the bread represents the greatest desire to receive in this one frame of reference. The word chala is coming from the same root as milchama, which means war. War is definitely a frame of judgment. So all of these correspondences is what you have to develop within yourself as you study these correspondences, and you're asking the right questions. You're asking the idea, what does north truly mean? And how do I understand what's happening in the north? Well, right now, what's happening in the north of Israel, what's north of Israel is the is Syria. What's happening in Syria and Lebanon, which is north of Israel, what's happening in those two countries is war and chaos. Now, is that the Armageddon War? Well, we all would think, from based on the emphasis in the New Testament, the Armageddon War happens and takes place in Israel. But it's essentially a battle that takes place in a location called Megiddo. But, you know, we have to take a look at what does that word represent in Hebrew, which I've never done. But it's something that we need to in order to truly appreciate what does it mean coming from the north.
I just think that it's a significant occurrence for the world, because, as you said, the north has more desire to receive, and of course it could be that it could be many aspects of the world, taking just over Israel, you know, which is the center of the world, you know. So my mind, I'm just trying to understand that significance of the north, because like I said, Tohu happened, that was before, you know, actually creation. So to me, it's very significant to try to understand as much as we can in the physical world about the aspects of the north.
And you're correct. It is significant, and it's necessary to expand our understanding of it. And we're out of time, not really out of time, but because I don't want to hold people up. It's really just things, I've said enough hints in what I've said that you can listen to the recording and make some connections and ask more questions next week if you like. Because I'm sure this is not a subject we have exhausted.
No.
You all have a beautiful day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.